Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin endorsed Joe Biden for president last month.
I'm supporting Joe Biden for president, not just because he's always fought for the bold progressive change that working families in Wisconsin need, but because he understands that everyone deserves to be treated with dignity and respect and afforded the opportunity to thrive.
Our next guest thinks Biden should seriously consider bringing Senator Baldwin onto his ticket as his pick for vice president. Data analyst and political columnist for The Washington Post, David Beiler, has written a series of pieces making the case for different VP candidates. Amy Klobuchar is the most logical, Elizabeth Warren most needed, Tammy Duckworth is the safest and smartest pick. So where does Senator Tammy Baldwin fit in? David, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, you've written, as we said, a bunch of different pieces looking at different candidates. You write that if Biden is serious about winning the presidency, Senator Tammy Baldwin deserves strong consideration. So why would she be the serious pick?
Right. So the line of logic is relatively straightforward, and it works kind of like a process of elimination. So we are fairly certain that one of sort of four or five swing states is going to be the most important one for actually getting Biden or Trump over 270 electoral votes. Biden wants someone who's experienced, probably a senator or a governor. He wants someone who is probably from those one of those states that can help him out. And he's already said that he wants a woman to be his vice presidential nominee. So if you sort of go down the list in Florida, governors and senators are Republicans. In Pennsylvania, the governor and the Democratic senator are both men. In Michigan, you have Gretchen Whitmer, who is one plausible candidate, but she's sort of in the midst of a whole crisis of her own with coronavirus that makes the pick risky. The Democratic senator from Michigan, Gary Peters, is a man. And you sort of go through this list, and what you come up with is that you have Tammy Baldwin as sort of the person that checks all the right boxes. She's someone who could help Biden in Wisconsin, one of the key swing states. And she's, you know, a woman who would be groundbreaking because she's also an LGBT person. And she would potentially satisfy some on the progressive base. So there's really a lot of different advantages to having her as the running mate in the electoral case, I think, is one of the big ones.
And you looked at how people who'd won statewide office, which is pretty much all the names you ticked off, and some of the others you've written about, how they perform compared to, say, other statewide candidates in their parties. How do you see Senator Baldwin stacking up here in Wisconsin compared to some other alternatives?
Yeah, well, Baldwin's 2018 win margin was pretty significant. It was, if you sort of do a little bit of math and you say, okay, how well should this person have performed versus generic Democrat? Baldwin does well. And this is what I think puts her ahead of Debbie Stabenow, a senator I forgot to mention from Michigan, who performed not as well in the 2018 election, but Baldwin performs well. She's someone who doesn't have any, you know, very immediate, obvious baggage that would disqualify her. She's very obviously qualified. So just in terms of, you know, who's from a swing state, who meets Biden's sort of pre-specified criteria, who's qualified, you know, who seems like they could run a really solid race, you know, it comes up Baldwin.
I've seen some arguments about how many votes having a vice presidential candidate from a particular state is going to bring to your party. Some people say not many. On the other hand, we have some really close elections here in Wisconsin where not many could be a deciding factor. Do you think just surely having a candidate from Wisconsin might be enough to nudge the balance one way or the other?
Yeah, so I have, you know, read through the research on this. I've done some of my own calculations, and you're right to say that the advantage usually isn't much. Vice presidents usually don't carry a home region. They oftentimes don't bring in that many votes. But there is some evidence that a vice presidential candidate that's sort of well-picked and placed correctly can get about two extra points in a given state. And given how important Wisconsin is, given how close this election could potentially be, depending on how it evolves, it sort of makes sense to think of those 2 points as very big and very helpful and as something that, you know, might be worth sort of guiding the Biden vice presidential pick, because that could make the difference.
Talking to David Beiler, data analyst and political columnist at The Washington Post. He wrote a series of articles looking at the pros making the case for different potential running mates for Joe Biden. We're talking about the one today that he wrote about, Senator Tammy Baldwin, as the serious choice. David, from the perspective of Democrats, they might be thinking, and you talk about this in your piece, do we want to give up a senator in a state where elections can really be toss-ups and risk losing, Democrats would say, that Senate seat?
Right. So this is sort of, I think, the strongest piece of pushback against kind of the case for Baldwin. And I feel like all of these potential vice presidential candidates that I've written about have big strengths and then their Achilles heel. And this would be the Achilles heel of Baldwin, which is that, you know, Wisconsin is a very evenly divided state. And we know from recent elections sort of throughout history that when one party takes control of the presidency, the other party's stock starts to rise pretty fast. We saw it when Barack Obama was president. He won in 2008 and 2012. And then what happened in 2010 and 2014, the Republicans won. Same thing with Trump. He wins in 2016. Democrats win big in 2018. So there is a reasonable worry that if Baldwin were to vacate her Senate seat, that Republicans would not, maybe not just have the chance, but maybe even be favored to take that. And then that would imperil the Democratic ability to govern. The counter argument to that would be that the presidency is more important than the Senate majority and you sort of have to do whatever's necessary. But, you know, the person who has to decide which argument is stronger is ultimately Joe Biden.
Another point you bring up is that Senator Baldwin has done well on the Wisconsin statewide political scene, but hasn't been a very prominent figure on the national scene like some of the senators, say, who have run for president in the past.
Right. So the way that I think about this is it's a little bit more of a lack of an advantage than a disadvantage. And I know that sounds like hair splitting, but I do think it helps if you've run for president to know what the, you know, sort of national spotlight is like, to have proven that you're somebody who a lot of Democratic voters like or have gotten behind at one point or another. But ultimately, in the end, the presidential nominee themselves is the one that's sort of in charge of bringing flash to the campaign, right? The fact that Baldwin didn't go through the entire primary, I think, is okay because Joe Biden did. And Democrats decided that, you know, they want him at the top of the ticket. So, yeah, I think in rare cases, you have presidential candidates trying to sort of inject some flash or shake up the game with their vice presidential nominee. But when it comes to being on the campaign trail, sometimes do no harm is just a good rule.
Sometimes we look at running mates as, you know, reaching out to a particular constituency or balancing. So Mike Pence was viewed as reaching out to Republican white evangelical voters in particular, that wing of the party. Is there anything like that going on with the potential choice of Senator Baldwin?
I think that I would say progressives, but they don't know it yet. Baldwin has not been sort of the most visible progressive in the left wing of the Democratic Party. Obviously, Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren have a lot higher visibility than she does. But if you look at her actual voting record and you look at sort of the things that she stands for, she would be someone who comes from that sort of area to Biden's left. So I would say that that would be one area. And, you know, she's if I remember right, she's openly lesbian, and I think that would be interesting considering how much LGBT rights have become a really, really big part of the Democratic Party's platform and sort of their stance on social issues. So I think there's multiple things that she could bring in terms of constituencies that she would light up. And then there's the obvious fact that she's a woman in a party that's majority female. So I think that counts as well.
You wrote, again, a number of pieces about different candidates making the case, the positive case for them, for Democrats. Did you persuade yourself that one of them really is the best choice or the most likely choice?
I mean, I'll tell you, I don't know if I persuaded myself that one of them is the most likely. But I will say that writing the case for Baldwin made me sort of see the merits in that pick more than I had before. The same is true of Duckworth. And actually, writing the piece on Warren made me sort of less high on her and made me think like, oh, this case is actually harder to make when I have to, you know, write it down and it's not just in my head or in a tweet. So that's kind of how I've moved around. And also Klobuchar, I thought was about as strong of a case as I expected, which was pretty strong.
David, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
We've been talking to David Byler, data analyst and political columnist for The Washington Post. We talked to him today about the case for Joe Biden picking Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin to be his running mate in this year's presidential campaign.